All right, so who went to high school in the United States? Who graduated after 1970? Who's read the book The Outsiders? I think it's been on the reading list of every high school English class for decades. I doubt it is anymore, but in the day, it certainly was. It's a classic coming-of-age novel set in 65, published in 67, and Hinton, who wrote the book, was 15 when she started writing it and finished it when she was 16, a junior in high school. And she wrote the book, which is about two rival Greek groups, the Greasers, if you're of that area, you know the Greasers, and the Socias, who were divided by their different social statuses. And she based the story on a friend of hers who was jumped in school and beat up for being a Greaser, which upset her so much that she went home that very day and started to write that book at 15. It's the classic story of insider versus outsider, cool kid versus nerd, loser versus elite, whatever category or how you want to decide it, The Outsiders is the classic story. And we've all been on one side or the other in that story. You know, it never feels good to be the outsider, does it? Whether in school or work or in a social situation, it always hurts to be on the outside looking in. Never really a part of the action, never a participant, never feeling like you belong, just kind of sitting on the sidelines and hoping and praying that someone will ask you to dance. That's what it feels like to be an outsider. Now, in the Bible, there are countless examples of this insider-outsider conflict. Sometimes it's a story of the conflict between Jew and Gentile, and that is the main theme of the New Testament, Jew versus Gentile. And it is certainly the driving theme in Acts as the early church begins to open up from being a church of Jews who follow Christ to accepting in those who are non-Jews. And that is huge in this book. Sometimes it's Jew and Samaritan, or Roman and Greek, or Pharisee and Jesus. In each case, there's always one side left out looking through the window at the insiders. There's always the cool kids and the nerds, even in Scripture. You know, to be chosen because we're loved or wanted or needed or because someone thinks we're special, that is something that we all want. To be chosen just because of who we are, no questions asked. And some of the best, think about it, some of the best and worst moments of your life have to do with being chosen or being left out. Being chosen is important. Now, today, in our text, we're introduced to the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, talk about an outsider. Let's count the strikes he has against him. First of all, he's a Gentile. Even if he does worship the God of Israel, he's an Ethiopian Gentile and will always be on the outside in Israel. No matter how much he may want to be different, it can never change. Secondly, he's a eunuch. Enough said about that. Look it up if you don't know what that means. He serves in the court of the Queen of Ethiopia, but he's assured as being a eunuch that he will never have children, and that he will never be accepted by society. His society, and certainly not Jewish society, his physical condition guarantees that he will be excluded forever from being an accepted member of Israel's chosen people by the laws of Deuteronomy. He can't ever hope to be accepted or to be allowed to worship in the temple in Jerusalem. An ethnic outsider, a religious outsider, a sexual outsider. Three strikes and he's out, way out on the outside looking in with no chance of acceptance ever under any circumstances. And all of the money and power that he has, and he has a lot, can never and will never change that. And then along comes Philip, running right up there alongside him in the middle of nowhere, literally in the middle of nowhere, in the wasteland somewhere. And he witnesses to this man, and it looks like things are going to change. Looks like the old ways are going to get shaken up and turned upside down. Does that make you uncomfortable when the old ways get upset and questioned and maybe turned upside down? Does it make you cry foul? Does it call your sense of fairness into question? Does it blur our idea of who's in and out too much? Sounds like that's the power of our risen Lord at work here, though. Whenever Scripture turns on its head our old categories and ideas and views, ways of viewing the world and viewing who are God's children, then you can be sure that the Holy Spirit is hard at work calling us to rethink things. So just like we counted the ways the Ethiopian eunuch was an outsider, let's count the coincidences in the story. First of all, an angel instructs Philip to go out into the desert wilderness. Doesn't tell him why. Miles from anything and anywhere. Pretty odd. And at high noon, in the hottest part of the day, in the blazing desert. And all of a sudden, in that vast wilderness, appears this Ethiopian eunuch on his way home after visiting Jerusalem. What are the odds? Philip runs up alongside him, and he just happens to be reading from the book of Isaiah, of all the books in the Bible. And he happens to be reading the part dealing with the suffering servant. And those words had to be resonating in the heart of this Ethiopian. And as he reads about the servant who was a complete and total scorned outsider from his hope of people with no hope for descendants, his heart has to be thinking about the similarities in this story with his situation. So he invites Philip into his chariot to explain what the passage from Isaiah is about. And it gives Philip the perfect opportunity to witness about the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, I, for one, do not believe in coincidences. Do you? Much less more than a couple. When a story has what appears to be too many coincidences involved, then you know that God is doing something amazing behind the surface. It seems to me that circumstances beyond the control of either Philip or this eunuch have created this perfect storm for witness and redemption and baptism and acceptance and welcoming for this poor, lonely outsider to God's people. But I cannot, for the life of me, ever believe that it was simply coincidence or chance. When such crazy coincidences and chance events all come together in Scripture, it is the Holy Spirit guaranteed. And when the Holy Spirit is at work, that means trouble. Have you ever noticed that in Scripture? Trouble. Big trouble. Because when the Spirit's at work, then all of our cherished ways of looking at the world and looking at each other are about to be called into question. And our notion of who's on the inside and who's on the outside and who's chosen and who is not chosen are about to be challenged and reordered. Now, I want you to think about what that means for a minute. Just let that sink in for a minute, that God, through Jesus Christ, chose you and me to be insiders of all the people in the world, good or bad. God chose us. And not by default either. Not because we were the only ones left on the bench by any means. He chose us for no other reason than he loves us. Think of what those words must have meant in the ears of that Ethiopian eunuch. To realize that by a series of amazing circumstances, God had sent Philip to explain the good news of Jesus Christ to him and to answer his questions, to satisfy his curiosity, to let him know how much God cherished and how much God loved even him, and to help him find his place among the other children of God. Well, of course, he was more than ready and willing to be baptized by Philip there in the middle of nowhere and assure his place as an insider. And then as quickly and powerfully as the Spirit brought about this amazing encounter between Philip and this Ethiopian, Philip takes off by the power of the Spirit in a completely different direction, literally. And the Ethiopian eunuch goes home rejoicing. There's a lot of themes and ideas at play in this story, but ultimately it's the story of how in Jesus Christ, through the work and power of the Spirit, the outsider, the one who doesn't belong, the one whose odds of ever making it in God's kingdom are effectively zero, becomes the insider. And there's no other way that that could be, except that sometimes Jesus chooses the ones whom the world sees as having no value and no chance to be his friends. And sometimes Jesus chooses the ones we would never choose in a million years. Does that disturb you? Does it gall you that this ultimate loser, this ultimate outsider, I mean a eunuch after all, does it disturb you? Because it should. Sometimes I think that the Spirit likes us to stew and chew on things for a while, to wrestle with them, good and long and hard. But the truth is, we all have an Ethiopian eunuch in our lives, even if you don't know you do. Someone or some group that we just stand in awe that they have the nerve, the audacity to consider that they could ever be God's children. So who's yours? Who is the one for you who dares to assume that they could ever be a beloved child of God and friend of Jesus? Who's your Ethiopian eunuch? We may not like to admit it, even to ourselves and in private, that once we too were outsiders, but we've been called by the Spirit and made insiders just like this Ethiopian. By the Spirit, each one of us has had our own Philip who's worked through to make us God's own. So who have the Philips been in your life? The one or ones who helped you find your place as an insider in God's kingdom? The same Spirit who works to make outsiders into insiders also works on us to open us and stretch us and change us and clarify us and grow us. So which side of the door are you on this morning? Can you tell? Inside or outside? Is it confusing trying to discern if you're on the inside or the outside? Philip or Ethiopian, we've been both in our lives. God will use us and God will use others in our lives. So what amazing future is the Spirit calling you to stretch and grow into today? The story of the book of Acts, and we've been in it for a while now, is ultimately the story of the Holy Spirit. It's a story of how the gospel message spreads out first from Jerusalem until it will, in time, reach to the very ends of the earth, which is the great commission Christ gives to his disciples. Go and preach to all the world. It's the story of how the good news of Christ starts first with Israel and ultimately reaches all people and all places. Sort of like the ripples that spread out from that stone rejected, tossed into the ocean of our world. Where those ripples spread to and how they come ashore on distant beaches, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. How and where she chooses to work in and through the lives of the people she chooses is our story as well. The work of the Holy Spirit can make for some pretty strange bedfellows. Now, I'm not judging. I'm just looking around at all of you sitting here this morning as I say that. Pretty strange bedfellows. Folks, that's a joke. But that's the good news and the awesome power of the gospel. Some insiders wind up on the outside looking in, and some outsiders wind up on the inside. And the Spirit doesn't ask us for our opinion on the matter either. So where is that seemingly circumstantial and coincidental work of the Spirit in your life and in the life of this congregation today? Who are the outsiders and the impossibles that the Spirit has chosen to be our bedfellows and carry on Christ's work alongside us? And are our doors open wide enough for those whom the Spirit has chosen to come inside and join us on our journey into the future? Amen.